listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, which means that this is the Subversity Science Roundup.
Raising fears that the Sims might have some similar server.
What do I hear?
On release day, as SimCity had. To which a spokesperson from Maxis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a web page open. You know what? I hate these web pages that have sound effects now. My God, really? Okay, so welcome back. It's Thursday, Subversity Science Roundup. We're joined all the way from the beautiful city of Munster, Germany, by Adele Musa. How you doing, Adele? Adele, are you there? Did I do something wrong?
Actually,
oh, yeah, there you are.
Because the weather is slightly off.
Oh, is it really? Okay. Also, during the second half of the show, we're going to have Elizabeth Rich, who was Vernon Hirschberger's attorney in Wisconsin. We just had a huge win for raw milk, a huge victory for raw milk that may actually affect the rest of the nation. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. We're going to have Elizabeth Rich on during the second half of the show to talk about the Vernon Hirschberger trial. Anyway, what's new with you, Adele? How's your training going?
Oh, actually, training is going quite well, although I think that I'm bordering overtraining as well, or at least I have to cut back.
And it seems like this is a problem for everybody right now.
And to keep it to it, and it's rather difficult to not to overtrain.
This seems to be a problem with everybody right now. You know what I'm doing right now, Adele?
Taking off.
No, I'm doing that, but I'm also I'm going to dial you. We're going to play a little bit of music, and if those of you will just bear with me for a second, we're going to get Adele Musa on a phone line here instead. So just give us a moment. Okay, sorry about the long delay. Adele, are you there?
Yeah.
This is much better. Okay. Anyway, I was asking you about your training, and you appear to be slightly overtrained. It seems like something that's going around right now. I am suffering from it. Today is my fourth day off from the gym. It feels odd to me, but frankly, I feel in better spirits today. Something I realize that's another barometer for if you're overtrained, if you're grumpy all the time. You know what? I usually have a really great sense of humor, and today it slipped out, and I thought, wow, I must be feeling better because I'm making jokes again.
Yeah. And actually, also, if you're really considering not going to the gym and thinking that it would be better to take a day off, for most of us, it's really
a good idea to listen to your body and what it's telling you, because just keeping and pushing it is not really the solution to make further progress.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about this a little bit later, but first thing we want to talk about to get back on track here is there's long been speculation about the effects on insulin occur at the tongue due to taste, and that a lot of these artificial sweeteners elicit an insulinogenic response. What new research is out there, Adele?
There's actually a very interesting research which was also in the mainstream media today, and this is the first one which actually did take a look at the insulin response and at the glucose response when the subjects consumed before they did the oral glucose test a distant amount of sucralose. And this was equivalent to what you would usually get in a can of diet soda. And the scientists observed for the first time that there was a significant or statistically significant effect on both the glucose response as well as the insulin response to the subsequent oral glucose test. And this is interesting because in previous studies, which were usually done in lean individuals, the results were at least not significant, and most scientists concluded that there would not be any effect of dietary sweeteners or of co-ingestion of dietary sweeteners with foods. But this study shows a very different picture, and the scientists speculate that this could, in fact, have certain relevance also for people trying to lose weight, and especially for those who are usually advised to consume artificial sweeteners in order to reduce their caloric intake, who are obviously people who are obese, like just like the subject in the study at hand.
Well, and more importantly, I have a friend who's not obese, but he is pre-diabetic. Well, no, he actually is full diabetic now. And he drinks copious amounts of diet soda because he believes that it is complementary to his diabetic condition. But would this research also indicate for those who are diabetic that perhaps this is a game changer for them as well?
Well, that's difficult to say. As long as you use it instead of sugar-sweetened beverages, it's probably still better because the effect is relatively mild. It's a 20% increase in insulin, and we are going to address whether this is a good thing or a bad thing later. But it is important to note that this is only observed when you eat or consume any carbohydrates or glucose-containing foods with the sweetener.
Ah.
Other downside to previous studies, where they usually just gave the people a diet soda, nothing happens. So only if there is already something in your bloodstream that would cause an insulin cause the insulin release, it will be increased. And interestingly enough, from a physiological perspective, if you go beyond what's said in the press release and in the abstract, you will see that this is actually an appropriate response because what happens at the first place is a faster increase in glucose, in the glucose levels of the subject. So in other words, the main mechanism which appears to be at work here is an increase in the ability of the intestine to absorb the glucose from the intestinal tract so that basically everything you ingest after this preload with the sweetener will have, you could say, it will have a higher GI. So a low GI food will still be absorbed faster, and especially higher GI carbs which do not have to be broken down will be absorbed faster.
Interesting. Okay, and so, and we're going to talk more about this, but the initial response is not necessarily a bad thing, is it not?
No, it's really not, and I think there are many misconceptions about insulin, and in fact, insulin is our best companion in getting rid of the glucose, which is otherwise damaging to our tissue. And if everything is working fine, the spike, the real pronounced increase you will see in the first minute after you ingest the high GI carbohydrate source is actually beneficial And scientists have observed that in pre-diabetics, usually the first thing that appears is that this increased early insulin response is hampered, and this is the royal road to diabetes. And there are also studies in Pima Indians, of whom we know that they are particularly prone to develop diabetes, and whether they are diabetic or not, they are missing this pronounced spike in insulin when they eat high GI foods. And this makes them particularly susceptible to develop diabetes. So in the end, this spike, which is also characteristic of other things, not just artificial sweeteners, but also the ingestion of whey protein, is actually or could actually be a good thing, not a bad one.
And we're going to talk about that more. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to pick it up and continue on with that discussion. We're talking with Adel Moussa. Today is Subversity Science Roundup, brought to you by Subversity.com. Many people read Subversity. You know what I thought about? If we had to invoke Adel Moussa's name every time we talked about a topic on this show that he has already written about, we would have to change the name from Superhuman Radio to the Adel Moussa Hour. And you don't have to wait to hear about it on the show. You can simply go to Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. We'll be right back with more.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail, 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. Okay, so when we went into the break, we were talking about the fact that this initial attack, if you will, you know, of the insulinogenic response is not necessarily a bad thing. Perhaps, Adele, the ability for the pancreas and the glucose management system to attack quickly is a greater indicator of its evolving or evolution. What do you think about that?
Well, it appears as if it would be a great indicator of its intact function, because it is supposed to be able to react this fast. And once you have high glucose levels for quite a time, the glycated red blood cells, you also measure in order to determine your long-term blood glucose levels. They have just been shown to mechanistically damage the pancreas. And this means that once you over-ingest carbohydrates to an extent, that you cannot lower your glucose levels and become hypoglycemic, which can obviously happen in response to great loads of insulin of fast-acting carbohydrates, you will continuously hamper your ability or the ability of your pancreas to react appropriately. And this is actually the mechanistic stage where real diabetes begins. And this is characterized by not being able to produce insulin any longer. And on the other hand, you have, and this is actually a weakness of this particular study, you have other effects, like having increased free fatty acids in the blood will decrease the sensitivity of the tissue to insulin, so that insulin cannot get its job done.
Interesting. And so, and hence, even the, this makes perfect sense, because we also know that free fatty acids will also blunt the growth hormone response.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And obviously, growth hormone produces insulin-like growth factor, and hence its name, insulin-like. So it would operate in the same domain, if you will, as insulin.
Yeah, and actually, that free fatty acids blunt the growth hormone release is actually a feedback mechanism, because growth hormone is supposed to be released when you don't have glucose in the bloodstream, and you need to produce energy from fat. If you produce growth hormone, you will increase the free fatty acid levels, and once your body recognizes that you have a high enough amount of them in the blood, it will stop producing growth hormone. And unfortunately, you can also have high amounts of free fatty acids in your blood if you are following the typical diet, which is usually labeled as being high fat, but it's a high fat plus high carbohydrate diet, which is abundant in energy, and so abundant in energy that you just cannot metabolize it in the right amount of time.
Right, right. So this quick action is not a bad thing, and it's elicited by other things as well. Obviously, certain amino acids have the ability to produce an insulinogenic response. Whey protein does. Are we to understand that things that elicit a rapid increase in insulin, in the insulinogenic response, but not necessarily a long requirement for insulin, is where the magic is? Or does after that initial spike, what happens next dictate whether this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, actually, this is the real important thing. If this first attack or this first line of attack is sufficient to clear a significant amount of the glucose from the bloodstream, which it should be if you are consuming real complete foods where you don't have this onslaught of maximal amounts of glucose rushing into your bloodstream, then this is actually a good thing, and you shouldn't need as much insulin in the later phase, where it does not even work that efficiently. So in essence, you can say that this initial response should, in the best circumstances, do at least 50% or get at least 50% of the job done already. And there are different mechanisms due to which this is not the case. The first is consuming too much carbohydrates at once.
So now we're talking about carbohydrate load. It has nothing to do about the initial response, but the overall load.
Exactly, and this would be the difference between the GI and the glycemic load, which is a combination of how fast will the carbohydrates absorb, but more importantly, how much of those fast carbohydrates will you eat. For example, many fruits like watermelon have relatively high GI, but you will have to eat a whole watermelon to get a decent load of glucose.
Ah.
There's so little in it. And this is a very important distinction by which you can also distinguish between foods which are really putting you at danger because they are both high in GI and contain a high amount of carbohydrates, and those which may have a slightly higher GI but do contain so low amounts of carbohydrates that this initial response will easily clear the glucose that's getting into the bloodstream.
Interesting. How does this information change the way we understand insulin affects the production of new body fat?
Well, actually, it does, because the general mantra is that insulin itself is going to make you fat. But if you look at some of the older studies where people were still interested in actually finding out what's going on in the body, you will see a study that has been conducted in 1982, which clearly shows that what happens to the glucose if the insulin works properly, if the insulin spike at the beginning is there, then you will see that the large majority of the glucose that's in your bloodstream will be stored as glycogen or will be oxidized or used otherwise. And the amount of glucose that will use to synthesize fatty acids and could be stored as body fat is 20 times lower over a four-hour period. And if you only look at this initial phase, this initial, say, 20 minutes and extrapolate the respective data, you could say that it's 2,000 times higher. That means for every one unit of glucose that's going to be converted to fat, insulin is going to shuttle in the meantime 2,000 units into the liver glycogen store and especially into the muscle glycogen store. As long as you are A, insulin sensitive, and B, you are not totally your glycogen levels are not already topped off. And this is a major problem for the majority of normal individuals, because they don't move enough to expend any of their glycogen in the liver and in the muscle, because on the one hand they don't expend glycogen,
right,
glucose from the muscle, and on the other hand they are constantly eating, so that they will always have the glucose
spilling over constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay, so does this change anything that we think about complex carbohydrates like sweet potatoes, for instance? Because what comes into mind here is while a sweet potato or a yam may not elicit a rapid clamp, if you will, of insulin, that initial attack, the delivery is much longer. Does this change any of those paradigms about complex carbohydrates?
No, actually not. Because if you have the glucose trickling in slowly This makes it even easier for your body to clear it. So this doesn't suddenly mean that that complex carbohydrates are bad, but it does certainly mean that you have to relativize the mantra that all fast carbohydrates are fattening by definition, so to say.
And more importantly, is there any place in this discussion about the value of intermittent fasting, or does this now change what we think about intermittent fasting in any way?
Well, in a way, you could say that intermittent fasting will have beneficial effects on, especially the depletion of liver glycogen levels. It's not so much the depletion of muscle glycogen, but the liver can store a huge amount of glycogen, and the deposition of liver glycogen begins once your muscle glycogen levels are already topped off. So after an extended fast, you really have the space to store the carbohydrates in one of the glycogen departments, or the two major glycogen departments, which are in the muscle and in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
So this would actually be another argument in favor of intermittent fasting, yeah.
You know what else is another argument in favor of intermittent fasting? And I never talked about this before, but I'm saying it now. When I had Dr. Watfi on the show, and we talked about the relationship of aggression and risk in exercise and what it elicits in our body. Do you remember that discussion?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, there was something he said that was really interesting to me. He said exercising on a full stomach is not a good thing because you didn't need food if you were full. There were mechanisms in your brain saying you're full. You don't have to take risks and go out and hunt right now. And he said that in order to get the proper response from insulin and insulin sensitivity, you should not exercise when you're full, because theoretically you have to be hungry enough to want to go out and assuage the risks involved in gathering food before actually going out there and doing this, and that if you're not hungry when you're exercising, you're actually working against the natural mechanisms in the body. Did you remember him talking about that?
Yeah, and that's also in line with the neurotransmitter release. And it's quite interesting to look at rodent studies. When you fast the little creatures for a certain time, and they're not really starving, but they're beginning to be severely hungry, not just having an appetite to eat something, they will actually increase their wheel running if they have a wheel, which is food-seeking behavior. So this in the rodent model, this is obviously easier to follow up on the mere physiology of this than in a human model, because our psyche is so complex that many of those things are not really directly related. But in general, you could say that being fasted, you are actually prepared from your brain wiring, you could say, to work out.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. We've got lots more to discuss on this topic as we move forward, and we're also going to talk about overtraining a little bit. We're talking with Adel Moussa. He is the author of Subversity.com. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, where we discuss science in the news and apply sniff tests. And as you can see, we are changing paradigms as well right here on this show. I predict that a lot of the things we talk about on this show will find their way into the new prescriptions for training and nutrition. So you can be the first to know this by listening to the show and visiting Subversity.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Wherever you call your battlefield,
after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AM Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, AM Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
AM Nutrition.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state of the art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Adele Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup. So, Adele, in light of this information, should people continue to drink copious amounts of artificially sweetened drinks and not worry about it?
Well, the artificial sweetened drinks are an issue of themselves, because there are also other molecules in the drinks of which we are not really sure what they are doing. And this is actually something the scientists also mentioned in their discussion, that even if their results would finally turn out to say that the artificial sweetness in themselves are not a problem, the rest of the stuff that's in Diet Coke, for example, could still be bad for you. But in the end, you could say that this study is, first of all, preliminary, and second of all, it really does not raise concerns as in terms of this being the sole reason you are not able to lose body fat, for example. It could be one of the factors contributing to the problem, but what is also interesting and worth mentioning is that previous studies showed that the chronic consumption of artificial sweeteners, at least in a rodent model, also led to chronic increases in the glucose transporters in the intestines. So this means when you're someone who is using artificial sweeteners always, you are more prone, or the average GI of the food will be a little higher for you than for others. as I pointed out before, this is not generally a problem. It will not make you fat in the first place, but it will obviously render you more susceptible to the very same problem. If you look at the currently available research looking at the effects of chronic consumption of artificial sweeteners, you will have to concede that there is no conclusive evidence that it would lead to obesity or diabetes. So in general, you better be careful and err on the side of caution. But if you have been successfully dieting with your Diet Coke in the past, it is for many individuals more likely that they will benefit in the future as well. Because in the end, as I've said before, if you're replacing the artificial or regular sugar with an artificial sweetener, this effect observed in the study at hand is certainly not as bad as it would be if you consume a real Coke instead of the Diet Coke before your meal.
Right, right. Okay, let's move on to another topic, and that is we talk a lot about overtraining recently, and a lot of people are suffering from overtraining, including myself. Today is my fourth day off from the gym, and it was much needed. And everybody has all these issues about overtraining. But something that I discovered is that when I become completely overtrained to this degree, like I am right now, my body starts holding water, and I started talking to Adele about this. So let's, first of all, let's talk about the whole overtraining issue. And what are some of the salient characteristics of an overtrained individual other than fatigue? Because quite often we can push through fatigue, as you point out. It's a mechanism of survival for us to push through fatigue, right?
Yeah, it is. And if, in effect, when you're really fatigued, you're already chronically overtrained. So the early stages of overtraining are actually often characterized by the exact opposite. You will be spiked up, and you will, for example, not be able to sleep through the night. Especially in the morning hours, around 2 or 3 o'clock, it's quite usual for people who are overtrained to wake up or to have to take a leak on the toilet. And another thing is to sweat profusely, like the sheets really getting wet and soaked.
Right. And this is because, and I remember reading research many, many years ago, over a decade ago, that a single bout of full body exercise, heavy full body exercise, can cause blood sugar management issues that same night. And there appears, where is this coming from, Adele? Is this a result of the adrenals? We also talked about the kidneys. What role do the adrenals and kidneys play in all this?
Well, the kidneys are particularly related to the having to go to the toilet, and the sweating is also, because in the end you will end up storing more water because there is an increase in the release of ACTH from the hypothalamus, which is from the pituitary, which is telling your adrenal gland to produce cortisol. And when you're overtaxing the system constantly, the adrenal gland will, in the early stages, not be as responsive to the ACTH release. And unfortunately, the same hormone, same ACTH, is also responsible for the regulation of aldosterone. And this means if your body regulates this hormone to increase your cortisol output and your adrenal gland does not respond in the way it's supposed to be, you still have the same hormone affecting your kidneys and via aldosterone, and this will increase the water retention. So this is the particular reason why you are holding water after heavy workouts specifically, and especially if you are already in a state of what you usually call overreaching, which is the stage before real overtraining.
Okay, so this relationship has what happens? What's the difference in this? You just did a blog post about this. If you are a person who avoids sodium, like salting your food, versus a person who doesn't avoid sodium, there's a totally different reaction in the body, is there not?
Yeah, there is, and this is actually a quite interesting finding. that even if your sodium levels in the blood are normal, you can as well have too little sodium in your cells, so to say. And the reaction is, interestingly enough, or the symptoms are, interestingly enough, closely mirroring those you would usually see in an overtrained individual. And in this particular study, the scientists were really able to restore a normal training status by just providing the subjects who had been following the recommendations of consuming a low-sodium diet in concurrently with a high-intensity training protocol. They restored their normal adrenal function and their normal performance levels by just giving them more sodium. And if you think about how much sodium you're losing in your sweat alone during workout, and of people always telling you that you have to consume magnesium after you work out because otherwise you will cramp and stuff like this, you will have to put this into perspective because you lose 600 times more sodium during a workout than magnesium. And the recommended intake, or the RDA, is only, I think, 3 or 4 times higher for sodium than for magnesium. So this goes to show you that someone who is working out maybe daily and sweating profusely daily obviously needs much more sodium than someone who is not working out at all.
Okay, and we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick this up a little bit further because I want to talk about some of the tests that doctors will order and why it may not pertain to athletes in general. We're talking with Adele Moussa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup brought to you by Subversity.com. Visit Subversity.com today. We'll be right back.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Adele Musa. We're talking about overtraining right now, something that many of us are suffering from. So, Adele, I talked about the fact that my doctor was ordering some lab work to check kidney function, and you indicated that there's a lot of research out there that shows that these lab function, kidney function tests may not pertain to athletes. Why is that?
Well, it depends on what your doctor is testing, but doctors often test the creatine kinase levels, and when those are elevated, they are shocked because the general notion is that elevated creatine kinase levels will can lead to kidney failure. But if you look at the science that's out there, then the leakage of this enzyme from the muscle is actually quite a normal process that occurs when you're working out. And most people will have, after a decently hard workout, levels that would really alert a medical practitioner who does not know about this to be concerned about your kidney health. But if you look at the data, there are actually studies and reviews which suggest that for athletes, you really need a totally revised range for those creatine kinase levels. And you can see that those levels can be increased up to 300 times after a workout, and this does also depend on individual differences, on the way you're working out. For example, everything, the more muscle damage you exert during a workout, the more creatine kinase will be floating around in your bloodstream in response to the workout. And it really takes much time to clear this from your body. It takes a toll on the kidneys, obviously, but it's not the same as in repto, which is rhabdomyolysis, when the muscle is really breaking down. And this is what doctors usually or often suspect when they see the values out of context.
And so, But what can a doctor do? If a doctor's looking at this and all he has to go by is some of the standard assays, is it responsible for a doctor to ignore this? Or is there a period of time that an athlete can take off to where they'll see a fallback to normal?
Well, usually you would have to take at least 1 week full off in order to return to normal levels. And this is actually what you should... you should maybe do if you have really, really extremely elevated creatine kinase levels, because this is also a sign of chronic overtraining. If you don't give your muscle enough time to recover, obviously the next time the damage will add up to what you've done yesterday, and the amount of creatine kinase that is floating around in your blood will constantly be building up. So it is supposed to be a marker of overtraining, but it's not a particular good one. And there are also two other enzymes which can be elevated in response to training, and those are usually considered to be liver enzymes. Those are alanine, the transaminase enzymes for alanine and for asparagine. And those are involved in the clearance of the metabolic waste product, so to say, during your workout. And what's also important, they are also figuring large in the provision of energy from protein and amino acids. In other words, if you're someone who is following a diet that is really high in protein and deficient in fats and carbohydrates, which are the actual energy sources for your body, you will have chronically elevated liver enzymes, so to say, because your liver is constantly in need of producing and using these enzymes to interconvert the amino acids and to produce glucose, especially from alanine, which is next to glutamine, the number one gluconeogenic amino acid in your body.
What does supplementing with creatine do to all of this? Because obviously I supplement with creatine. Would it be normal for me to see a higher level of creatinine?
From what I've read, there is no direct relation between creatine supplementation and an increase in CK levels. In fact, there are studies that suggest that it does actually lower the amount of creatine kinase, and this would also be logical because creatine kinase is actually the enzyme that's supposed to recycle creatine, and if you're providing exogenous creatine, you are not really needing that much creatine kinase. And in addition to that, creatine has also been shown to protect the muscle from damage, at least to a certain extent. And therefore, it is unlikely that creatine supplementation is increasing the release of creatine kinase from the muscle. On the other hand, you have to keep in mind that it may allow you to train even harder. And this is certainly a reason that will increase the release of creatine kinase from the muscle.
Okay, so what are there any tests that would be valid, real tests, other than say trying to assess your heartbeat in the morning and so on? Are there any things that can really be done that would be a true litmus test of if you are starting to become experiencing overreaching or even overtraining syndrome?
Well, I've checked, and there are several things that are good candidates. There is a certain questionnaire, which is obviously a psychological measure, and unfortunately I couldn't get it. You have to buy it. It's quite expensive. But this test has been shown in several studies to be a relatively accurate predictor of your of being overtrained or not. Then there is a relatively simple reaction test where you have to push a button in response to a light on the monitor. There are several versions of this test, which is also a good indicator, especially of parasympathetic overtraining, of sympathetic overtraining, because at first you're losing concentration in the early stages, and later on you're not able to hammer fast enough on the buttons of the computer. And the blood test that appears to be relatively accurate, and which also tailors directly to what we've said in the beginning of this part of the show, is a direct test of the ACTH and cortisol response after a workout. But this is obviously nothing you can do without being in a special lab. So for the average trainee, it's still the best to try to listen to his body or her body and see whether the initial and later signs are occurring.
What about that oversimplified approach that Dan John talked about on my show several years ago about taking the keyboard of your computer and opening up a simple word processor program, picking a key like the letter K, and then tapping it for 15 seconds. This is when you're well rested. And then after training, in an effort to ascertain if you are starting to become overtrained, to reproduce this test. And in theory, the more overtrained you are, your response time would go down and you'd hit fewer keystrokes in that same 15 seconds. Do you think that that's flawed as a way to determine if you're overtrained?
Well, it may not be very accurate, and I think you would have to repeat it several times in several days. But in a way, that's the same as the so-called Vienna test I've been talking about before, or the same idea of testing your response or your response time. And in the end, since the latter has been shown to be relatively accurate, I suppose this is also a test that could, in conjunction with obviously looking at the symptoms you develop, really help you. And maybe there's just another thing I want to bring up that is often overlooked, is the effect on the thyroid gland. And there are so many people who will tell you that they are suffering from hypothyroidism, and their doctors are not treating them because their TSH levels are normal or even low. And this is particular, as of my experience, I don't really have the studies to prove that, but this is a particular good marker of being chronically overtrained. When your thyroid hormones are low and your TSH levels, on the other hand, are also low, as if are as they would have to be when you were actually hyperthyroid.
Right.
So in this case, usually your RT3 levels are elevated, but when you're really, really chronically overtrained, all this gets so much out of whack that the best indicator really is an insufficient increase in TSH despite of low T4 levels and often very low T3 levels.
And obviously, when you can't talk about overtraining without to some degree mentioning nutrition. And we see this same phenomenon in individuals who are basically starving themselves, right?
Yeah, you are. And in fact, what we've been talking about before, I don't know about the CK levels, but those will be elevated if you're not ingesting enough cholesterol, fat, and choline, because those will stabilize the cell membrane and keep the CK where it belongs in the cell. And on the other hand, those liver enzymes are always elevated when you're starving yourself, because they're a sign of your body eating itself up. It's eating its own protein. And to do that, it needs those enzymes. And the liver needs those enzymes to convert the protein to energy. And you will also see extremely high levels of those hormones in anorexia patients. And in this case, this is a clear sign of your body eating itself up, so to say.
Right. And it's probably protecting itself as well. I mean, the thyroid is part of the system of management of energy.
The thyroid decrease is obviously a protective mechanism. And interestingly enough, adding T4 to the regimen will not help you at all, because your body will just convert it to RT3, because it knows that when it converts it to T3, the catabolism will become even dangerous.
Right.
So, putting someone who is what I usually call self-induced hyperthyroid onto a levothyroxine T4 only regimen is not going to help him. Putting him on T3 is also not going to help him, because it will have him or her just lose his muscle. So in the end, you will have to go to the root cause, which is usually the combination of under-eating and overtraining.
Yeah, and that's why nutrition is so critical in this whole equation as well. Listen, Adele, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and talking about this important information, especially as it pertains to artificial sweeteners, glycemic load, and so on.
Well, it was a great show. I hope people learned something and maybe are interested in the topic. And also, of course, listen to the way their body feels after a workout. Because in the end, it is not really worth it risking your health if you don't even see results.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing that right now, right? Because I have to take at least a week off now. So, and obviously that's going to put me back. And if I would have been training sensibly instead of with my ego, I would continue to train and get stronger. So there you go. Thank you, Adele. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Elizabeth Rich on. We're going to talk about Vernon Hershberger, a win in Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
So what's your advice and wish?
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. Hi, many of us have heard about Vernon Hershberger in the news recently, a farmer in Wisconsin, a raw milk producer in Wisconsin. And as you know, raw milk is treated very differently than a lot of other things in this country. You can buy tobacco, which kills 1 million people a year, alcohol, which destroys livers, but the government wants to protect you. Protect you. Isn't that... That's nonsense. They'll feed you genetically modified fish. Protect Monsanto, who's killing the world. But God forbid you get your hands on raw milk. That's not going to happen. I've got Elizabeth Rich on the phone. How are you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. First of all, what happened to Vernon Hershberger, a well-meaning farmer? I'm assuming that he had a cow share program going or something like that in Wisconsin?
It was a little bit different from a cow share program. It was a, his members actually, it was intended to set up an ownership interest in the farm itself because of the way Wisconsin law is structured. In Wisconsin, herd shares don't work because we require a milk producer license for anyone who sells and distributes milk off the farm.
Okay.
But what Vernon set up, in contrast, was designed to take advantage of the Wisconsin law that says that a dairy farmer and an owner of a dairy farm can engage in all of these activities without regulation. They can take their own milk. They can take milk products like butter, yogurt, kefir, without government interference.
And so he was operating legally. So what was he charged with?
Well, I've given you our interpretation of the law and the interpretation that the jury upheld. That is not, the state would not agree with me on that. So he was charged with three licensure violations, operating as a producer without a license, operating a retail food establishment without a license, that he had a farm store.
Right.
And for operating a dairy plant without a license, and that was for making the butter and yogurt and kefir.
And is it not true that he continued to sell milk right throughout this whole process? Did he not?
I have to be careful about offering any comment on that, because if he did do that, that would constitute bail jumping, a charge for which the state could file additional charges.
Okay, I guess there was one. Okay, I guess maybe I'm misunderstanding something. There was one charge that he was not completely acquitted of, which one was that? Do you know?
That was violating a hold order.
Ah, okay. Maybe I misunderstood. So violating a hold order, which meant what? So
during a raid. The state conducted a raid with armed law enforcement officials on June 2nd, 2010. And at that time, they dumped Dinah's milk, destroyed 2,000 pounds of milk, and claiming that it was adulterated and misbranded. It was just milk. It was raw milk in a bulk tank, and of course, all milk in all bulk tanks around the country is raw.
Right.
So they ruined the milk and then put yellow tags on some of the food. They did exempt from the hold order any food belonging to the Hirschberger family.
Okay.
So
hold means he had to keep it for them to do what they wanted with it, or hold meant stop selling it? What did the hold mean?
Let it rot.
Ah.
We had a regulator. It was a hold order for 14 days, which would have ruined most of the products.
Gotcha.
And it was later, several days later, was converted to an indefinite hold order. So that meant you can't move it, you can't dispose of it, you can't feed it to the animals, you can't eat it. The regulator who testified on the stand said, you can't move it. So there was a video clip showing Vernon picking up a container of ice cream from the freezer and putting it back. And that video clip demonstrated a violation because he moved it.
I gotcha. Okay. Okay, so now, did he come to the farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund? Did you guys reach out to him? How did that go?
Vernon has been a member of ours almost from our beginnings in 2007. He chose to represent himself initially largely because of his Amish roots. He's
right.
No longer Amish, but he was raised Amish. And in general, the Amish do not seek legal counsel. He brought a Bible to the counsel table every hearing he had. And when the judge said, Mr. Hirschberger, have you gotten counsel yet? And he said yes, and he held up his Bible.
Yeah, right.
But he was getting beat up pretty badly, and eventually he agreed to let us represent him. We
Good.
Were there. I was at all the hearings in the audience, and hoping that he would retain us at some point.
Now, we've had Pete Kennedy on the show numerous times. Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. You guys do more than just raw milk, right? This is all about access to healthy food and not having government blocking it, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay, and that's what this show is all about too. You know, spreading. We're huge proponents of supporting family farms, locally sourced foods, raw unpasteurized milk. I just went through a gallon and a half of raw colostrum. Luckily, in Kentucky, where I live, the farm share program is alive and well. But there are other places where raw milk is being attacked constantly, is being dangerous and unproven. And these types of overzealous responses occur. Who was the spearhead on going after Farmer Hershberger? What agency? What person? You know.
Well, it was the Food Safety Division of the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. That's the agency that went after him. The agency itself has a long history of creating a moving target for raw milk producers. So in 1998, they said raw milk sales were okay as long as you put beet juice in the milk, for whatever reason.
Really?
So that people would know it was okay that people were drinking pink milk, then they would know it was raw and not pasteurized, and so then it was okay.
Beets are genetically modified in this day and age, almost 100%. Why would I want to put GMO juice in my raw milk?
It's also adulterating it under their own definition, so it doesn't make any sense. Then in 2002 and 2004, they issued decisions saying, well, you can sell raw milk if you share ownership in your milk producer license. So get a milk producer license and sell pieces of it to people, and then you can sell them raw milk. And then they changed their mind again. So it's been just back and forth and back and forth. It's allowed, it's not allowed. And meanwhile, farmers, another branch of the Ag Department, the Agriculture Development Branch, actually encouraged this. They set up conferences called value-added conferences and encouraged farmers to make value-added products to survive, like butter, selling raw butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so one arm of the agency is encouraging it, and the other arm is crushing it down after farmers make big investments in, you know, the equipment needed to make these direct sales.
Had Farmer Hershberger been visited by this agency prior to them coming and locking all his stuff up and saying, let it rot now?
The agency issued a cease and desist letter in 2007, which was right around when they started cracking down again after having said that the sales were okay. And Hershberger was at hearings where he took notes about what they said you had to do to make the sales okay.
Right.
So he was doing that from 2003, having listened to the agency at the hearings. He then, in 2007, out of the blue, received a cease and desist letter from a regulator. He had Pete Kennedy respond to that letter, and Pete wrote, and we weren't allowed to bring this up in court. We were absolutely forbidden to say that he responded. The regulator testified that she issued the cease and desist letter, and he did not respond. I was dumbfounded by that.
Oh, my gosh.
It was not true, and we weren't allowed to refute it. We were not allowed to bring in the letter from Pete Kennedy that responded to the regulator and said, oh, you're mistaken. This is a private arrangement. It's allowable under Wisconsin law, and there's no problem. And then so that letter from Pete went out, and Vernon didn't hear anything from the agency for 2.5 years. So he thought he was good to go. He thought, okay, my lawyer wrote, explained what was going on. No response means I'm okay. And then in 2009, they came and did an inspection, and at that time told him that he needed licenses, and he said, well, remember that letter that my lawyer sent? I don't need licenses. And then he didn't hear anything for another year, and that's when the big slam came with the June 2, 2010 raid, came a year after, almost a year after the August 2009 inspection.
This is terrible for a government agency to handle themselves this way. It's really terrible.
Well, I was really disappointed in the way it was handled from the beginning. The Legal Defense Fund has been trying to talk to the agency for years, since 2007, to say, can we work something out? Because there's a black market. This is happening. It's going to happen. So let's see if we can work something out instead of these heavy-handed armed raids, surveillance of farms by air and by vehicle, infiltration of private buying clubs. I mean, the resources expended on this is just astounding.
Right.
Astounding.
Right. And you know,
they had four.
People should have the ability to buy raw milk. I can buy raw fish at a Japanese restaurant. I don't see anybody coming in and talking to me about that. This whole raw milk thing is nonsense, and it's time for the government to change their attitude. We're going to be talking more with Elizabeth Rich about Vernon Hershberger when we come back. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Suicidal when you say it's over. Damn all these beautiful.
you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Way Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Elizabeth Rich. She represented Farmer Hershberger in his proceedings in Wisconsin, which was a great win for raw milk, quite frankly. So a jury of his peers found him not guilty of these three accounts. And the fourth one is really moot, is it not? Because the hold order didn't have to be observed if he was absolved of these other three accounts. Isn't that correct?
Well, we're going to make a motion to that effect before the sentencing hearing, asking for dismissal of that conviction for that reason.
What does this win? Does this win change anything? Does this win mean anything more than just for Vernon Hershberger? Does it mean anything for raw milk in general? Or at least in the state of Wisconsin, if nothing else?
I think it does. There's a limited legal precedential value, because partly because it was a criminal case, and so the state had to make its proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And I note, by the way, that the same statute has both civil and criminal penalties, so they didn't have to bring a criminal action. They could have brought a civil action. Their burden of proof would have been much lower. Why bring criminal instead of civil? I think the only reason is fear and intimidation.
Sure.
So that's unfortunate. But I think perhaps now, I think that the real value of this verdict is not legal precedent, but I think certainly a message was sent, not just to Wisconsin regulators, but to regulators across the country, because people came from both coasts and many states in between to support Vernon Hershberger and to send a message to the to regulators everywhere, I think, that we need to make some changes and that food freedom matters and people are starting to stand up and assert it.
Is this really about the big dairy industry trying to protect their fiefdom? Or are there other agendas? Are these easy, low-hanging fruit for legislators who aspire to be take larger political roles later on for easy wins, this kind of stuff, because it makes the news and it's easy to win? These poor farmers typically don't even have the resources to fight this sort of stuff. Or are these legislators and are these authorities having jurisdiction just the puppets of the large dairy companies here?
Well, if you follow the money, it's hard to come to any conclusion but that. The Center for Disease Control statistics indicate that about 9 million people are drinking raw milk across the country. And I think that's understated, but let's go with it. 9 million people, that translates into a lot of money in lost product sales for big dairy. And once you've tried raw milk, of course, you won't touch the other stuff, right?
Right.
So I do think there's a lot of money at stake. And they, you know, when we did actually, the legislators in Wisconsin did pass the raw milk bill in 2010 by wide margins. And the governor had indicated he was going to sign it, and then big dairy interests hired a lobbyist who was a close friend of the governor. He met with the governor for 2 hours, and the governor came out and vetoed the bill. But they were, the large dairy interests are very open in their opposition to this.
This is sad. This is so sad. This is such a waste of taxpayer dollars, and it's going on in every state. It's not just Wisconsin. There are so many legal actions taken against farm share programs, buying clubs, and raw milk farmers in the United States that never even make it into the headlines. And it's really sad. And it's unfortunate. It's unnecessary in a climate where you can, I mean, they're about to legalize marijuana on a national level. Give it another 5 or 6 years because some 17 million people smoke marijuana in the United States. And the government's ready to make money on that, too, tax dollars. But God forbid you drink a glass of raw milk. It's idiocy. And legislators need to understand that we see them for what they are, that the raw milk issue is the wrong issue to get on the wrong side of because we know you're just corrupt if you're going against raw milk, something that's been around since the beginning of time, written about in the Bible. I don't care who you are. Okay? If you can buy tobacco products in this country and the government says they're trying to protect you from drinking raw milk, don't buy it. Don't believe it. Because if they want to protect people, they do away with tobacco. But they make too much money on it. So what's next now for your group, who is obviously fighting cases on all different fronts in this area? Does this give you something to point at when you go into other states and you're trying to defend farmers?
It does, yes. And what we've found consistently is that when we put this issue in front of a judge, we usually don't win. When we put it in front of a jury,
Bingo.
We win.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. And so we're going to try to leverage that in the future and see it and try to have the people deciding these cases more than the establishment, because that's not working. I'd also like to see a constitutional amendment, because I think that it never occurred to the Founding Fathers that they had to protect food freedom. It didn't cross their minds. Otherwise, I think that would have been the First Amendment.
Right, right.
And maybe that's
a good, that's a really good point. That really, really is. So,
yeah,
Farmer Hershberger doing now? Obviously, he feels to some degree relieved. I've got to believe that there's still some apprehension on his part. Can they come back around? Can they let it rest for a year as they've done before and then come back around and take another bite at the apple with him?
They could start beating him up right away. They could pursue him civilly now that they've lost criminally, although we would fight that tooth and nail, but they could. What they've done in other cases is they've taken the information they gathered and turned it over to the FDA and said, here, how about you fight for a while? I hope that they don't make that choice. I hope that instead they will take note and consider respecting private arrangements like the Hershberger Farm and focus their attention where it belongs, on milk that comes from CAFOs that really is dangerous potentially and really does need to be regulated when unsuspecting consumers pick that gallon of milk up off the grocery stores. We need them. We need them for that. Let them do that. But leave the private arrangements on the small family farms alone.
What about your organization taking the lower road and doing a preemptive strike? Can you come back? I know that these government agencies usually have some sort of sovereign immunity. But can you come back at them individually, the individuals who led this attack on Farmer Hershberger, now that he's won this case to a great degree?
You're right about the sovereign immunity. And in the absence of, you know, so there's the Section 1983 actions, which we have considered in other cases where there might have been physical harm caused by overzealous enforcement. In this case, I don't think we would probably take legal action against them, but I do know, actually, one of the regulators expressed remorse to him in the courtroom and said she was praying that he would be acquitted.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
I believe her. Don't get me wrong. I believe her. But you know what? I don't go for that. You know what? You know what? You pick your side. If you're on that side, but you're hoping that the person you're prosecuting wins, then you need to find a different job.
Well, that's right. I think that's exactly right. And, you know, and we heard the Nuremberg defense from the lawyers, too. You know, when we said, boy, you picked the wrong guy. You picked the wrong guy to go after, and they respond with, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Then get a different job. If you disagree with what you're doing, whether you believe in karma or you're a God-fearing person, you know, would you become an abortionist if you're a right to life person just because it's your job? No, right? So draw the line. Use your conscience to dictate your job, and get out of that job if you don't believe in what you're doing. Let them go find people who are less equipped, and you get on the right side. I don't buy that at all. You know what? I got to tell you something. If we could do away with sovereign immunity, this world would be a different world. The fact that legislators, politicians, right up to the president, can do things to the American people and call, you know, Ali Ali Alton free because I'm a politician, I have sovereign immunity because I'm working for the government at the time when I wrongfully did these things, you can't do anything to me. If we got rid of sovereign immunity, we could really stick an enema in this country really, really quickly. Because corrupt people wouldn't become politicians because they know they're going to go to jail. They become politicians because they know they're immune. So sovereign immunity is domino one for correcting all the problems in this country, because then we'd have teeth. We could go after people. Look at the people at the FDA, the IRS, the things that they do. They get a hand slap. That's it. You're fired. Fired. Put them in jail. If I did that as a citizen, I'd go to jail. So that's where we have to start, sovereign immunity. Plug your organization. It's a fantastic organization. It's been around since when? 2007, you said?
That's right, 2007. And it was formed with the idea that we would try to level the playing field, because as you pointed out, most farmers don't have the means to fight back. And we were watching farm after farm get shut down, people's livelihoods taken from them. And we wanted to do something. We wanted to give farmers some ammunition to fight back, and that's what we do. We have a hotline. Their farmer members pay $150 a year. Consumer members pay $50 a year. We have a hotline that they can call, and we've had calls from all over the country. I got a call once from a farmer whose wife was charged with an ordinance violation for grazing in the municipal right-of-way. And they came and arrested her, put her in handcuffs, and took her away from her 4-month-old baby that was exclusively breastfed. and they were going to hold her overnight. So I called the authorities in Colorado and laid into them for doing that, and they let her go. Regulators show up at a farm to table event and dump bleach on the meat because they didn't have proper licenses, and they called us a little late, but when they did call us, then Gary Cox from the Legal Defense Fund said, ask them if they have a warrant, and if they don't, tell them to leave. And that's what she did, and so they lost the bleached meat, but they were able to continue the event.
And that's my point. They lost the bleached meat. There should be some. If I did that as a citizen, if I showed up at a farm, a farmer's market, and I destroyed product, they'd call the cops, they'd arrest me, I'd have to pay, I'd probably have some government, you know, I'd have to do some time, but they just did it and they walked away. That's my problem with all this. This ability to overreach must stop. And you guys helped another. I used to do business with Gary Oaks here in Kentucky. Do you know who he is?
Yes. Yep.
Well, Gary was delivering milk to farm share members in Cincinnati. He was in northern Kentucky, and they jumped him with a SWAT team. The guy had a mild heart attack on the street. They arrested him. They put him in handcuffs. The guy was having a heart attack for delivering milk to moms, soccer moms, and people who had a right to own that milk. And the poor guy ended up having to sell his farm because he couldn't afford the legal fees to defend himself. What justice is that over milk? My God, are you serious? Those people who do these kind of things, that use that sort of gravity against farmers, you are horrible, horrible people. And you need to know that. When you look in the mirror and you think that you're think about your grandchildren and your children who are being deprived of things that would save their lives because you have to just do your job. Get another job. It's a shame. A shame. Also, you have your private practice as well. What kind of practice do you have, Elizabeth?
Well, I've been in practice for 27 years, and I do environmental law, I do zoning law. The common thread in my cases is that I defend the little guy against the government. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So
it's got to be frustrating.
I've been up against them for a long time.
It's got to be frustrating because they have all the resources in the world, and quite frankly, they're our resources because governments have no money. They just take our tax dollars and use them. They generate nothing. And then you've got to protect these small farmers, like this woman. I can't wait for this case to come. I can't think of her name. She's a chicken farmer, and they filed some sort of a case against her because of this whole nitrogen running into the watershed, local water supply, and so on. And do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know that case.
I just read this article, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow on Casual Friday, actually. There's a woman who's a chicken farmer, and they just fined her big time because they said that the amount of nitrogen her chickens are producing is somehow damaging the local water. Well, when her attorneys looked at this and looked at the formula, keep in mind it's a formula that they're using, they realized that the formula is flawed. Well, when the government agency realized what was happening, they retracted their case. But guess what? The judge is going to leave it on the docket. So her attorneys are thrilled because they're going to go to court, and they're going to show that this formula that the government has been using on small chicken farms, not the big players, not the Purdue's and the Tyson's, the small chicken farmers, is erroneous in the way that they calculate the total nitrogen being put into the water, which means if they win, the government is going to have to go back and reimburse all those fines that they've charged small chicken farmers for the past I don't know how long. So now they're begging her, look, don't go forward with this, we'll drop it. No, she wants to go forward with it, and the judge left it on the docket, so the local government agency is going to have to defend themselves, and this could be a landslide case in favor of small farmers. I can't wait. I want to have her on the show, but I can't have her on the show yet until this kind of culminates, because obviously they can't talk about it at this point in time, but I am just so thrilled. I'm just so thrilled. So anyway, listen, you're doing wonderful things. It's Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. You can go to farmtoconsumer.org to learn more about them. Plug your website also. You practice in the state of Wisconsin, is that correct?
That's right. And it's rich-law.com.
Okay, rich-law.com.
That's right.
So if you're in the state of Wisconsin and you need a good attorney to help you, here's an attorney that's fighting the good fight every single day. Elizabeth, thanks so much for taking time to be on the show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
And congratulations. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay, so there you have it. I also want to thank Adele Musa for the first hour of Subversity Science Roundup. Hopefully you learned something good about glucose metabolism, insulin, overtraining, and such. And check out Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund's website, farmtoconsumer.org. Great group of people defending local farmers and people. They're defending our access to healthy food. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. It's Friday, so we'll have an episode of Casual Friday. I'll be joined in the studio by the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. Till then, thanks for listening.